DiscerningHearts.com presents Inside the Pages, insights from today's most compelling authors. I'm your host, Chris McGregor, and I am delighted to be joined by Father Edmond Bourque, who was ordained to the priesthood in 1996 for the Archdiocese of Dublin and served as vocations director for the diocese, as well as a pastor in a number of its parishes. Trained as a spiritual director in the contemplative style, he now serves as a chaplain to the University College Dublin, the largest university in Ireland. With Father Edmond Bourque, we go inside the pages of Make Your Home in Me, Reflections on Prayer, published by IPF Publications. Father Edmond, thank you so much for joining me and for writing this lovely book, Make Your Home in Me, Reflections on Prayer. It is absolutely lovely. Thank you.
No, thank you very much for your kind words, for a book that I really hope is a great help to people in their spiritual life, to open up the spiritual life to a different dimension or a deeper dimension for themselves. So thank you for having me on this. I really appreciate that.
It's one of those wonderful gems. It's a smaller book, but it's a mustard seed. And I think what you do with it is you encourage us to plant it in us. And then from that, there is this wonderful growth that can occur. I think that is something that we need so much, because often we find works that want to tell us about things. What I find in your book is you're the great encourager to quest and to turn towards things, and in this case, turn towards Christ in prayer. So it's such a lovely work.
Well, thank you so much for saying so. I've always been struck by the line from the Catechism that prayer is the response of the one who has already entered the reality of our existence. I was struck by that line, that we often think when we sit down to pray that we have to jump up and down and get God's attention, say, look, here I am, and look, I want to talk to you, please listen to me, you know. And the opposite is true. God is constantly gazing with love upon each one of us, just with a beautiful gaze of love, wanting to enter our lives on a much deeper level than we can ever imagine. And all he's asking for us is to stop and become aware of his presence, open our hearts, and then let the rest, let God do the rest, you know. We can often think that prayer is about working. It's what I do, and what do I have to say, or what do I have to be, or whatever. And I think it's lovely that you kind of point out that it's about when we open ourselves up to God, God does the work. Mm-hmm. The grace comes from him. Mm-hmm. And I always think some prayer is not something you can get right or wrong. It's always right, because when we sit in the presence of God and want to communicate with him, it's right. But obviously there are more productive ways of praying that will open us up much more to that gift of the Spirit. So, I think it's about really encouraging us to maybe to look again at how we're praying, or if we're praying regularly, just to kind of refocus a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And then if we're not praying, maybe just to start our journey off, you know.
I was just going to say that you talk about, you know, if we're praying, that's something that we're even doing. And there is a very sad poll here in the United States. It's one that kind of explores about their spiritual experience, the religious experience. And over 60%, just at the very base, 60% of Americans they found do not pray. Do not pray. Not even, it's sure. Not even once a week, not even occasionally. They don't even practice prayer. So is it a big surprise that when we see other studies that have been done, that not only are millennials, for example, those different groupings of the ages who we are, but the millennials, the numbers have tracked down to participation to a very low number, a very steep decline. But it's also reflected in their parents and the boomers and the different generations. And you wonder, well, how is this happening? There you go. The answer is right there. They're not even having the inklings, potentially, of what prayer is. And that's the relationship, isn't it?
I find out here as well, I'm working in a university setting, and we have students here who they see something lacking in their life. They're not really sure what it is, and they often come and want to talk to you about where their spiritual life is going or what it's all about. And often it's because they've looked and they've seen their own parents who financially might be successful, might have a big house, might have a big car, but there's either a lack of love in the house or lack of encouragement, or there's just something missing that they can't put their finger on. Their parents aren't happy on a very deep level, and it's kind of asked them, it's causing them to ask questions. Well, do I want to end up in 20, 30 years' time like that? And I think it's important I start off now at kind of opening myself up to what this spirit brings. And I suppose if you haven't got something, it's like something, if you haven't got something, then you don't miss it because you haven't had it probably before. And I think that's one of the, maybe the, probably the sad parts is that people haven't been given the right tools or the right encouragement or the right guidance to begin to open up in prayer and to express that spiritual deep side of themselves, that inner life that is going on in themselves. I said to Augustine again, Paul, it's so beautiful. Our hearts are restless until they rest in him, O Lord. And unless we do find that connection with the, with our God, we can carry on. I talk about in the book about basically driving the car with the handbrake slightly on. Like, you'll move and you'll get to your places, but you're being kind of slightly weighed down, or things are not just what they could be. And I can speak from my own experience in life, the times that I wasn't praying as much as I should have been. And I look back now and I said to myself, God, I was almost a shadow of the person I am now. That the prayer has opened me up to the beauty of myself, the beauty of the world around me, the beautiful of who God is for me and God is for the world, and the presence of God in other people. I think that's the other thing that's opened me up to as well. But if we have never had it to a point, we're not sure what we're missing, you know. But if we do have it, we realize that this is just like the gem of great price. You know, it's like the treasure in the field. When you found this, you'll sell everything because you found something beyond any price, you know. So, yes, as I said, people often, I see students here going through campus and they're not even aware maybe of the presence of God or prayer life or whatever. And I often ask myself, like, what's going on in their hearts? Because if we're not expressing that side of our hearts in a loving relationship with God, then there's something just fundamentally missing. And it's not just about because I'm a priest or because I work with people who are interested in the faith and that kind of stuff. This is for everyone. This is not just a priestly thing or a sister thing. Mm-hmm. The spiritual life is for all of us, and the prayer life is for all of us.
That's the thing. People feel more comfortable today saying I'm spiritual but not religious, because there's a connection with religion. Is such a beautiful, rich, full experience. But yet we've done something with the word, the term religion, and now it's, unfortunately for some, it appears ugly. That's heartbreaking, isn't it?
Oh, it's desperate. It's like, people are afraid to express that side of their life in case someone might think they were holy, you know, as if, God forbid, you might be holy, you know. And like the things we're all called to, holiness and grace and to live spiritual, saintly lives. The idea of that can be kind of alien to people and think, if I go down that line, I'm going to lose myself and my personality, and I'm going to lose my friends, or something going to be lacking in my own life, you know. And yet entering into prayer and entering into attaining and looking after the spiritual life actually leads us to something really beautiful, the fullness of ourselves, you know, and the fullness of who we are as a human being, the fullness of who others are, and then the fullness of God. But yeah, you're right, that's almost like religion has become a kind of tainted word. And yet, maybe this book is an opportunity to step back and say, well, look, let's look at that again. Let's look at the spiritual life again. Is there something here for me? Maybe I have been living a life that maybe hasn't been in keeping with what God would want for me. And maybe I can just look at it again and start off that journey and see where it brings me, you know? And hopefully it'll bring them, as I know it will, somewhere beautiful.
Wasn't it in the Catechism that right at the very beginning on that section in prayer that Saint Therese is quoted as saying, our hearts surging towards
simple,
heaven? I'm not sure if
a simple,
I'm...
A surge of the heart, a simple glance towards heaven. And that's what I'm hoping with the book, because I've always been inspired by Saint Therese. She's just an incredible human being, you know. Mm-hmm. I visited Lisieux many times, and I just sit in the chapel there in Lisieux and just sit in the simplicity of it, because she's such a simple woman who loved God and loved her faith and loved her prayer life and loved engaging with her God. And it was just simple. There was no complications to it. And we can often overcomplicate prayer. We can often overcomplicate the spiritual life and see, think that we have to have a certain technique to get it right. All we have to be is ourselves, you know? And I think that's one thing I learned in my life. I'd say in the book that when I was growing up, my first person to teach me to pray was my mother. And she taught me the basic prayers, the guardian angel prayer and Hail Mary and the Our Father, which I still pray to this day. You know, the simple prayers are always so close to my heart. We think I taught then when we were praying, you have to sit before God, like with a smile on your face and look happy and, you know, say nice things to God and try and put on a good show, you know. And only when I began to realize that there's something false and artificial about not being ourselves in prayer. That if my heart is far from happy and joyful, and then I should be placing that before the Lord and telling him that's what's happening for me, you know, that I don't need to put on if I'm a happy face, if I'm happy and joyful, that day's fantastic, it's great. Mm-hmm. But not every day is like that. So with the days that are not joyful and happy, whatever, or if I'm struggling in some area of my life, what a wonderful way is to sit down, Lord, look, I am absolutely struggling today as part of my life. I'm weighed down by this. This is taking away my peace. It could be a sinful area of my life. It could be a worry that I have. It's about, so I don't put on a smiley face. I can just put on the face that I have and be real with him who loves me. And he's going to love me no matter what I present to him. And the fact that when I present who I am to him, God is honored by that. That's a privilege for God to hear exactly what's going on in my life. Just like if you sat down with a good friend and you confided in them, they wouldn't be embarrassed or ashamed, but they would just feel privileged that you felt secure in their presence to be able to share the depths of your being with them. And that's what's him, but with God, the depths of our being with him.
You addressed that in the very beginnings of Make Your Home in Me, Reflections on Prayer, that even relating to him, capital H, relating to God, it can be very difficult for many because the image of God, who, you know, you almost have to begin at Jump Street. What is my image of God? Is he the one who is so far away? I find it to be a dreadful song when I hear God is watching us from a distance.
Yeah.
No, it's total opposite of the way God is. But for many people, that song resonates. Oh, God is way over there. And I'm just the little one over here. We have to go there first in some ways, don't we?
I think so. I think it's by examining that, because our image of God can be tainted by our own personal experience of life and our own parents. And like if we have had a father who was very accessible and loving and kind and gentle, that will color our vision and our image of our Heavenly Father. But if we had a father who was angry or trying to catch us out or not very encouraging or even distant or even not even present, that can definitely color our attitude towards our Heavenly Father, because we do look at the outside world through the prism of who we are and our own experiences and our own things that have affected us in life. And, you know, it can taint the way we view God. It's like if you had a father or even a mother who was always trying to catch you out and, you know, you were never good enough for them, well, then maybe the God that you're praying to, you feel you'll be never good enough for them. Or God is trying to catch me out all the time, or he's just waiting for me to fail. And then he can point a finger and say, oh, I knew you'd do this now. You know, you've gone wrong again, you know. And that can definitely taint our view of who God is. So I think in the book, I'm trying to say, look, because we have a beautiful, perfect Father in heaven and a perfect Mother in heaven in Mary, that we can have the most profound, perfect, beautiful relationship with a Father that there's no one excluded from that. And if you begin to start touching into that, the reality of that, it can actually color and flavor the way we'll share with our God in prayer.
We'll return to Inside the Pages in just a moment. Father Timothy Gallagher is offering Teaching Discernment, a seminar to prepare teachers of Ignatian discernment. This is an incredible opportunity for individuals who wish to share the 14 rules in programs of spiritual formation, parish groups, in the home with friends, and any similar setting. The seminar dates are May 19th through the 21st at St. Stephen the Martyr Catholic Church in Omaha, Nebraska. To sign up, go to discerninghearts.com. Space is limited, so sign up today. the Magnificat. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on his lowly servant. From this day, all generations will call me blessed. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. He has mercy on those who fear him in every generation. He has shown the strength of his arm. He has scattered the proud in their conceit. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones and has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has come to the help of his servant Israel, for he has remembered his promise of mercy, the promise he made to our fathers, to Abraham and his children forever. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Hello, my name is Deacon Omar Gutierrez, and I want to ask you to support Discerning Hearts in a special way. We, Chris McGregor, the board, and I all know that not everyone listening can help financially. We know we have listeners from all parts of the world, and we have made a commitment since the beginning to make the truths shared through Discerning Hearts totally free. So while you may not be able to contribute financially, what you can do is certainly pray, but also give us positive reviews on whatever platform you use to listen to us. If it's iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Spotify, however it is that you get these podcasts, or if you're on YouTube and you like our videos, please give us a good rating and write a review. The more good ratings and reviews we get, the higher our profile, and the more listeners will discover us, listeners who may have the means to contribute in the future. Please consider rating us and writing a positive review today.
We now return to Inside the Pages.
I want to encourage everyone to pick up a copy of Make Your Home in Me, Reflections on Prayer, because you don't see very often in those who are trying to guide folks in prayer through a book. Though I'm sure that everyone has their beautiful holy intention of heart, and for whatever purposes that book will serve for a certain particular reason. But yours, what you do is that even in the end of a paragraph or at a thought, you institute, whether you realize it or not, a moment of pause. You literally say, just stop reading. Now just sit with this for a minute. Pause for a moment and just take in what you've just read and process it instead of just racing through the book and turning the pages, because our brains, unfortunately, have been trained now to try to catch things quickly and then move on to the next thing.
I think I found that myself when I began to realize that the Holy Spirit was constantly talking to my heart and speaking to me, and I often don't even listen to what the promptings are. Then when I began to realize that the Holy Spirit is speaking, so no matter what I'm reading, if I'm reading a piece of scripture or it could be a chapter from this book, the Holy Spirit is trying to tell me something personally and unique to me that he's maybe not telling somebody else, because he knows my story and knows where I'm coming from, and where I'm wounded and where I'm vulnerable. So he's speaking directly into my experience. And I'm trying to get people to just to stop and say, well, look, what's God trying to say to you? What's trying to communicate to your heart? What's jumping out from the page? It could be a phrase, it could be a line, a bit like Lexia Divina, it could be a phrase or a line. You know, the image of maybe God, I talk about the prodigal son and the father standing there at the gate, just with the arms open, ready to receive his son into his arms and give him a big embrace. And maybe just to sit with that, the reality of that, and just to marvel in the beauty of that, just let that sink into your heart and find a home in your heart. And then, you know, that should color then your image of God, how you view yourself, what you can share with him in prayer, all that kind of stuff. So it's just basically there are stopping moments or pausing moments. And even just a touch into yourself, well, okay, you know, I've heard about the way God loves me and God cares for me and God is listening to me. What desire is coming up in my heart from that? What's being prompted in me? And by stopping and by reflecting on that, it becomes real for us instead of just rushing on to the next thing. I think you're right. This book is not meant to be just read from cover to cover and I put down and say, okay, that's that done, you know. So maybe reading a chapter or even a few lines of it and stopping and saying, okay, what is this saying to me, you know?
It's like a retreat. This book could be used not only in a retreat setting, but at those times each day, if people were to take it and just rest with it just a little bit a day, because you guide us through and possibly, I say possibly, the experience of those who are entering into prayer. And I don't care what stage you're at, whether you're just starting or you've been praying for a long time, there's going to be moments potentially where things are going to rise up that are going to be very painful, either a suffering because it's a recognition of a pain that occurred maybe when you were a child, maybe it was in a marriage, maybe it was some moment in your life. Here you have this wonderful engagement with God and you're beginning to feel loved, and then something stops you and you say, but then why did you let this happen? Why did this hurt happen? And you have to listen for the answer sometimes and then know how to deal with it and then to sort that through. We're so willing now, because it's been given to us in so many different formats, to self-medicate.
Absolutely.
Not just with medicines, but with using a smart device, like a smartphone or an iPad or something that feeds a dopamine hit on our brain because we just keep going and going and going. It's a spiritual exercise, isn't it? It's something that we have to practice.
Absolutely.
Right, Father?
And it's absolutely, and I think your consistency in prayer is probably vital in this. You know, if it's an experience of life that's wounding us, that has wounded us, it's going to be affecting us, even though if we don't realize it's happening, affecting us in our relationships with others, relationship with God. So especially when it comes up in prayer, God is not allowing it to come up in prayer unless he feels you're ready to start looking at it and dealing with it and receiving his healing. Remember, I often think that life does us violence and times, and it can be difficult at times, but God is never going to add anything to us that's going to make our life any worse or any. He's going to be much more gentle than we can even imagine, and he's not going to do any more violence to us. He's going to be literally, he wants to heal us. So the healing process often takes place over maybe a long period of time, because the healing that takes place in prayer is not a kind of a once-off fix-all. It's a deep, lasting peace, and it's a transformation of the wound into a beautiful gift to God. And that can take time, because God, as I said, won't rush something that's so important like that. He's not going to add any more wounds to our lives. But if we bring it up to him in prayer and share with him in prayer and give space to listen and invite his grace in over a consistent period of time, that which seems like the most grievous wound in our hearts can be transformed into the greatest gift to God. What I say to the students here on campus, things like the experience of going through something like that, is to listen carefully to what's going on in your heart and learn from it. Because the way you are healed in prayer, and the way you experience freedom in prayer, and the deep love of God in prayer, is not for yourself. It's a gift to give others. What we learn in prayer is so that someone else could come to you in 5 years' time or 3 years' time, and they're carrying a burden or a wound in their life, and you'll say to them, sit down with me. I can help you. I know how you can receive healing and grace in this. So it's about learning from this, because I often believe that gifts are not for ourselves, they're always for others. So the gift that we receive in prayer, obviously, is for us, because God wants us to be happy and at peace, but it's also for others, because we're living in a community of faith and believers as well. So consistency in prayer is so important. Even when we don't, I often say, if you don't feel like praying today, pray anyway, because sometimes there'll be times when we just don't feel like praying, or the resistance there as well. And if you don't feel like praying, it's just to sit with the Lord. Lord, sometimes I have to say to the Lord, Lord, I'm here. I'm very tired this morning. Whatever, you're going to do all the work. I'm just going to sit in your presence, in your gaze and your love, and let you do all the work, which he always does anyway. And then at times I'll engage a bit more with it, whatever. So it's about being honest and truthful about where you are, sharing with the Lord and allowing him to heal you.
Well, Father Iman, I could listen to you all day. I'm so glad I have the book so I can carry your thoughts and your wisdom with me everywhere I go. It's so wonderful. I just found myself, whether I'm in church or I'm at adoration, or those just at home first thing in the morning, again, I just pull it out and I go back and I reread different sections. This is going to sound maybe strange to some ears, but it's amazing the amount of grace that can be placed in the smaller vessel. Just look at the Eucharist, for example.
Absolutely.
That's what I found with this work. I just think it's an absolute gem. And I wish we had more time in this particular conversation about the book, but any final thoughts?
I think the key to it is God loves us. He's longing for us to spend time with him. And because he wants to give us the kingdom. Like, we often limit what God can do for us and think, well, God can't heal Mary, can't do this. God can do everything. There's nothing impossible but God. So just give him time, give him space, and give him permission to enter into your life and let him do the work. And I guarantee you the work will be far more than you can ask or imagine.
Father, thank you so very much.
Thank you so much. It's a privilege to be with you. Thank you.
With Father Edmond Bork, we've gone inside the pages of Make Your Home in Me, Reflections on Prayer. To learn more about this book or to obtain a copy, go to priestlyformation.org, the website for its publisher, IPF Publications, or you can find it at any fine Catholic bookstore. To hear and or to download this conversation along with hundreds of other spiritual formation programs, visit discerninghearts.com, or you can find it within the free Discerning Hearts app, as well as on numerous streaming platforms. This has been a production of Discerning Hearts. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. We hope that if this program has been helpful for you, that you will first pray for our mission, which is to offer freely, authentic, and rock-solid spiritual formation to souls around the world. And if you feel us worthy, please consider a charitable donation, which is fully tax-deductible, to help support our efforts. But most of all, we hope that you will tell a friend about discerninghearts.com and join us next time for Inside the Pages, Insights from Today's Most Compelling Authors.